Hoi, 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 cheeky monkeys.
Toppy, toppy, toppy. It's Bergkamp. That's magnificent.
Well done. Bye-bye.
Be ready, Arsenal. Be ambitious. Come on.
Hello. How are we all? Hello and welcome to ABW Live. Yes, it's the Bournemouth game. And it's a bit of a win. Fair play. You got to give boys credit tonight. Let's go straight to the chat box. First in the chat box is MJL. Hello, MJL. How are you? Then there's J-Rob, Ryan Cost, Kerry McCollum, Ron Ree, K-Man1867, Jackasaurus is there, Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious, Gooner73, Danny the GFP. Say hello to Danny the GFP, everyone. He was supposed to be on tonight. But no, he couldn't organise a piss up at a brewery. No, he's let us all down. Not like John Welsh. Carl's at the work. Danny hasn't had to work. No. Ask him what happened. Then we've got NB Crebane 99. NB Crebane 99. Yeah, that's it. Sorry, mate. Who else is there? Michael Harneman's there. Archie's there. Grant Wilbon's there. Ian O'Regan. If I've missed you, I'm sorry, but welcome one and all. Hope you're all well. And we're celebrating a really good win tonight, so that's really nice to see. Yvonne Okafor, you're superb. She says, she just donated a couple of quid, and she says, put the past behind us, support the team and Emery. Loving that, Yvonne, loving it. You are an absolute star. Right, the only person who hasn't ditched me tonight is the one, the only, it's John Welsh. Say hello, John.
Hello, John. How are we doing tonight?
Well, bearing in mind, I'm supposed to be preparing the dog sit for tomorrow night. You know, I got shit to do, right? I got shit to do. But
the best thing about tonight is, like, no one knows, obviously, all the listeners and the people in the chat box, behind the scenes, absolute disaster tonight. Everything that's gone wrong, that could possibly go wrong, pretty much has. But the best thing is, on the pitch, Arsenal have gone out and done the business.
Exactly. It does make it. It really makes it. Oh, Jesus, here we go. Unique 79's piling in. And he says, now bring on the Spuds and Man United. Come on. Unique, that's the only way to look at it. I love it. Ron Ree, I've just about got over the hangover. It was painful, mate. I was still struggling on Tuesday. That's how pathetic I am nowadays. I used to be able to do that 4 nights on a trot. Nowadays, 4 hours is a big one. John, set up tonight. I don't mind saying, when I saw the setup tonight, I did not look happy. We're 3 at the back. Oh, Jesus, bear with me a second. Michael Harneman, he says, what do you think of Tottenham? I hope everybody's saying it at home. What do you think of Tottenham? You better be screaming it.
I don't see it in the chat box. They'll catch up in a minute.
they best catch up because they're letting themselves down at the moment. You wait till I get the tappy time. You know, they better be on message then. Yeah, as I said, thanks, Mike. You're an absolute star, mate. You're an absolute rock star. Thank you ever so much. Daniel Kupka's first in with shit. And then they're all piling in. Come on. Yeah, we played 3 at the back against a poor Bournemouth side. We've got about 6 or 7 injuries. Haven't won an away game in 8 games. I was a little bit annoyed by that. Ozil back in though. What were your thoughts?
Yeah, I was a little bit surprised by the back three, just because we were at home and I thought the way we played the back four before and Kolasinac had been let loose and everything, and it worked really well. And I thought, you know, we're at home, we can go for it. It felt a little bit negative. I wasn't surprised to see Ozil. I thought he'd start tonight because I suspect that maybe he won't start the Spurs game and maybe he'll come on at the weekend. Look, I wasn't particularly happy about it, but boy, was I wrong, because I think Unai pretty much proved that he got near enough everything spot on tonight. You know, it was only one little error and it was a individual one from a youngster that basically cost us a clean sheet. But other than that, I think he got everything bang on tonight. So, yeah, you know, I'm happy. Before the game, I was a little bit... honestly, I had this down as a draw. I didn't realise how many injuries Bournemouth had before the game. So when I was looking through the fixture list, I thought, well, this could be a little bit tricky. Bournemouth are, you know, they're pretty good. They're not a bad team. They can score some goals and everything. But I was not impressed with them tonight.
Yeah, they weren't great, were they? They definitely weren't great. But to be fair, we've never had any problem with them at home. We've only lost once them away and drawn once away. So, they've never really been they've not really been a bogey team. The stats say, we've won all those games. So I don't know, it was strange. I had it down on my Super Six as a 4-0 win, okay? Couldn't even get that right, could we? But I'm I've got to warn about something, I'm like. Been interested to see, is Mesut Ozil now physical enough to play against Bournemouth?
We made this joke, didn't we, before the game? And as you know, it's one of three things. Either Unai lied earlier in the season and Mesut is okay for a physical game like this, or he lied and Bournemouth aren't that physical, or they patch things up. I don't know. It doesn't really matter. I thought he was excellent tonight, and obviously we'll come on to individual performances and everything. But it kind of puts you go, hang on a minute, didn't you earlier in the season say that Bournemouth were too physical for Mesut to play in? But yeah.
It's a bizarre one, isn't it? I got to have a pop in it for something. So there you go. You've done well tonight, mate, but you're having a bit. The game starts off, typical start of a game, bit of back and forth. But within, on 3 minutes, Mesut Ozil, oh my God. Call a through ball, really nice finish from Ozil. Boric does get a hand to it, but he can't keep it out. What do you think of that, mate?
That's more akin that the movement, the build up to it as well, the Kolasinac as well, who's been excellent going forward most of the season, but the last couple of games has improved defensively as well. The little ball back to him, Ozil finding space. That's peak Ozil, where we've seen him at his best for consistent runs in previous seasons at Arsenal. That's what he's done best. It's not just been the assists, it's finding those little spots of space so he can get himself a goal. Yeah. And he popped up a few times tonight and he was unlucky not to at least get a second. He did everything right. He's not giving the keeper his eyes or anything, but he's waiting for the keeper to make a move.
Yeah.
And he goes, right, the only way I'm going to score is I've got to go over the top of him. I think Boric probably, if he looks back at it, might be a little bit disappointed. He didn't maybe do a bit better with it. Either if it's pushing it over the bar or pushing it straight up. But he did everything absolutely right, you know. So you can't take away from him. And I thought all round tonight, Ozil was really, really good.
He was. I mean, it was awful defending from Bournemouth. Okay, let's make no bones about it. It was piss poor defending. But what I really liked about it is, yes, the Kolasinac, putting the ball in that danger zone. Yes, the assist, the strike from Ozil, which I thought was fantastic. I mean, Boric did well to get a hand to it, I thought. I think he's going to be really harsh on himself if he thought he could keep that out. Okay. But on the back post, Aubameyang was hanging in there just in case there was a save. And I really, really liked that. Okay. I just thought that was superb from him. And more of that we need to see, because that's what's going to win us games. Do you know what I mean? That's what's going to get us there. So that was really nice. Oh, Jesus. Sorry, I've copied and pasted the wrong thing here. I'm rubbish. I do apologise. We took advantage of it, and really nice to see a strong start from us, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's what's been missing in games. And we said it earlier in the season, how we start the first half slowly and stuff like that. It was just everything tonight seemed to be a lot quicker and faster. And the last couple of games, there's definitely been a tempo sort of shift. The speed of play has been quicker. And we've seemed to be more at it. Ever since the Barthez loss, the boys have all seemed a little bit more switched on, and the manager as well. And they've obviously, I think that loss really stung not just the manager, but the players as well. And I think they were genuinely embarrassed by that. And they've turned things around since then. Quick thank you to Jamie Fitzgerald. Fitzgrade with the donation. I'm sorry, Jamie, I've just offended you without even meaning to. It says, just goes to show what a bit of tough love from a manager on Ozil, what can happen. Delighted with Emery, lads. Absolutely delighted. Thank you for that, Jamie. But he's right. I mean, I'm not sure everyone would agree with the way Emery's treated Ozil, but it's, you know, last couple of games when he's played, he's come on or started. He's certainly improved from the Ozil we saw in the previous little spell where he was playing. He wasn't really affecting games, and now he is. So, you know, he's getting a tune out of him.
I don't know. I you know, we're not behind closed doors. The one thing I'll say about it is, if Unai gets top four, you know, or wins Europa League, this season is a success for him. Regardless of anything else, it's a success. Yeah. So, you know, you've got to wait till the end of the season for the guy. I'm still on the fence on him. I like him. I thought he's the right appointment. But, you know, there's a few things this season have happened where I just think there's no logic behind that. So, you know, well, look, you know, as Yvonne said earlier on, yeah, we just got to hope for the best and support the team. Quick shout out to Ender D, who wants to have Ozil's babies. Ender, I don't know if you're male, I don't know if you're female. Good luck with that. I hope you did well. And a big thank you to Jamie. You're always a top supporter, mate. Thank you ever so much. You're absolutely brilliant. JH says in there, top four, still an outside chance, really? Yeah, well, it should be. We got the easiest running in of everybody, haven't we? You know, we've only got United and Spurs to play. United at home. I know Spurs is away, but as they say, anything can happen in the NLD. So we've just got to keep at it and have a go. John, one of the things that did annoy me, another one of those short free corners which turn up being crap. The very next thing we saw. Why did they do it, mate? Why did they do it?
I think sometimes they like to mix things up, not always just put it in the box, try and go short, change the angle, that kind of thing. Look, I don't like it. I'd rather they just stick it in there. And you've got Koscielny, who's good in there. You've got Nacho, who pops up with headed goals as well. Kolasinac, you know, Socrates as well. It's not like we haven't got the guys to attack the ball to go and win it. But I've got no idea. Look, the problem is, I'll get annoyed if they do a short corner, but then I'll get annoyed if they take the corner, it doesn't beat the first man. So sometimes you just can't win. So, yeah. Look, it's a small complaint to have tonight after seeing five goals and some of the better football this season.
It is, but I tell you what, I've got a theory on this, okay? I think they're just saying, they're going out, we got a corner, let's piss off the Welsh twat. I think that's what they're doing. I just think they're doing it to annoy me, mate.
I was going to say, I bet the whole squad likes Aaron Ramsey. I don't know what you're talking about.
Ender D has just put in the box, I'm male, but I'll do whatever's necessary. I like that a lot. I like that a lot. Okay, let's get on with this. Mkhitaryan has an effort blocked by Ake. Great work by Kolasinac from a fantastic through ball from Guendouzi. I got to be honest with you. Guendouzi is, you know, look, we keep on saying it. He's 19. He's going to be Jekyll and Hyde, and we'll talk about that, the Hyde bit in a bit. But there was a lot of Jekyll from him tonight. There were some really, really nice balls from him, which I don't think was, you know, particularly get highlighted an awful lot. They do at times, but it was a lovely cross-field ball, perfect angle for Mkhitaryan, for Kolasinac to run onto. He's got that in his locker, hasn't he?
Yeah, I think in terms of his play going forwards, he doesn't look out of place. And then when you think he's come from League Two to jump straight into the Premier League to a team that's trying to compete for top four to play Champions League football, and the fact he doesn't look out of place is so impressive for someone that young. That's not an easy thing to do. And it's not just that, you've moved leagues. It's a new country, it's a new language, brand new team. That's a lot to take in for someone at that age. And he seems to love it. And all his teammates as well, they all seem to like, they really seem to like playing with him. They're very encouraging. I like the fact he gives a bit of bark back to his own players as well. You know, he'll say to someone, why didn't you pass it there, or pull the ball back to me, and that kind of thing. But yeah, his forward passing, I think, is excellent. And yeah, you know, if he continues his progression and progress and stuff, and the way he's developing, because he's got a long way ahead of him in terms of what he can do. He's going to be a fantastic player for us.
I love his enthusiasm. Mm. I love his enthusiasm. I think he's absolutely phenomenal with his enthusiasm and the way he's just relishing it, you know, relishing the challenge. And bearing in mind, the okay, he's not even from a farmer's league. You know, that, you know, league to the, is not good enough to be called a farmer's league, okay? I think that's a great credit to him, you know. I think, you know, it's fantastic to see him do that, and it's wonderful. We've had another donation, and it's from the one and only Jackosaurus. Mate, you're an absolute star. And he's got a question for later. So that's in the box, Jackosaurus. We'll ask that later, mate. Thank you ever so much. He's just piled in with €7 because that's the type of guy he is. Thank you, buddy. Much appreciated. One thing that impressed me today, I've got a little note here, Collar trying to be Pele. You're seeing Kolasinac at the moment, and you're seeing his confidence really flourish, aren't you? He's trying, he's doing stepovers, he's turning on the ball, he's really taking the game to the opposition, which is fantastic to see.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, we've all said ever since he's been at the club, going forward, he's when he starts running, you can't stop him. He's just this huge tank, and his final ball wasn't quite there, or the pass or the decision and all that kind of thing. If he was taking a shot or something, it's like, yeah, he hits it like a rocket and it'll go in. All this. But there was always a little bit missing. In recent games, his passing, I think his numbers are way up, you know, because some games he was finishing with like 60% pass completion, which is like very, very low, especially for an Arsenal player. He's getting more into the 80s now. His decision-making's better. You're seeing a bit more flair from him. His defensive work has been much better as well, I think. You know, he's not just neglecting in behind him so much anymore. I think he's doing that much better. Again, it's only a few games, but you've got to give him credit for that and hope that it's something that continues, because he seems like he's enjoying himself more. And I don't know about you, but if I'm a defender and Kolasinac, someone that size, is running at me full pace and then decides to do a step over or a little spin on the ball, I am not putting my body anywhere near that geezer, because he's just going to steamroll me.
To be fair, I mean, I'd love to have a crack at him. He's a big lumpy Zio. He just comes at you.
I could just imagine trying to, like, someone trying to run in and like rugby tackle him, and they go in shoulder foot, and they're just caught around his chest and his waist, and he's still just standing there and just looks down at them.
But this is the thing, that's half the fun of it, isn't it?
Oh yeah.
Jackosaurus has piled in with another donation saying, "Thanks, bruh." Jack, you're magic, mate. You really shouldn't, but thank you ever so much. You're a star, pal. Thank you ever so much. But this is the thing. It's the variation in his game now. You know, that confidence is bringing out more and more in his game. And that's just fabulous to see, you know. It's really, really nice. And, you know, if he continues like that, you know, we could have something really, really special on our hands. You know, I do believe we need to kind of replace Nacho sooner or later. May have a season left, but you know, if you bring on somebody with real gas alongside him and you can do that the other side, you've got something special. Then we come on to Bournemouth start to come back in the game, mate. And on one of the attacks, Leno pulls off a fabulous save from Fraser. Okay. It was a break down the left-hand side. Fraser cuts in. Really, really good shot from him. Leno equal to it. He wasn't able to place the save, so to speak. The save drops back into the danger area, and in comes Gosling. But who's there? Koscielny with another brilliant block. I'm not sure if the shot was on target or not. The commentator wasn't sure, but Cos made sure of it. It's not getting past us. Really good to see at that point, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you know, there was only really sort of that brief spell, I thought, in the first half, 10, 15 minutes, maybe Bournemouth came back into it for the whole game. And defensively, we looked, other than that period, I thought we were solid throughout. It's one of those weird ones where if we did have to make a block or a challenge or anything, Koscielny seemed to be the one there all the time. And he was a bit in the wars tonight, especially at the end. He got, you know, that unlucky sort of knock on his knee. but he just kept on plugging away and doing the good things. And that, I think that's, look, Koscielny's always had a rick in him at some point. You know, sometimes he has one of those games where he makes an error or whatever, but tonight was one of those times where he's like, bang on, perfect timing, yeah. Everything, putting his body in front of everything. And it's one of the reasons why so many fans have got an affection for him, because you, when you see a player do that kind of thing, and Leno as well, just that save. And I think in the previous game, he said it as well, it's always good when you know, if you don't talk about your keeper that much, obviously your team's doing great. But if they just have to be called on once or twice in a game, and as long as they pull off the saves, you know you've got a really good keeper on your hand. And again, you've got to understand that Leno, for a goalkeeper, is still very young. He's still got a lot of years left ahead of him. I'm not saying we shouldn't go and get another goalkeeper, and if there was someone better available, you shouldn't do that. That's fine. That's investment and improving the squad. Obviously, you always want to do that. But I think for someone who, again, new to the club, new to the league, it's very different. It's more physical. All of these things matter. You know, different language and everything. He's getting better and better as the season goes on. So, again, we haven't spent a lot of money on him, but he looks like a, you know, he could be a long-term, very good keeper for us.
You say that, but £22 million for us is a lot of money. And I genuinely, you know, we spoke about this on the last show, okay? He's not an area that we need to address at this moment in time. Keeper, you know, we need to get a backup keeper.
Yeah.
But you can get good value out there for a backup keeper, if you know what I mean. But I'm loving the way Leno's developing.
Yeah.
You know, I think he's coming along very nicely. Thank you very much, you know. And if you look at what's happened before, you know, in the last few years, I think this guy's worth persevering with, because, yes, okay, he's going to make mistakes, but guess what? I remember Seaman having really bad rickets, you know? Lehman would always have one in him as well. So let's not, you know, make out that these guys in the past are perfect.
There's no such thing as a perfect footballer.
Like, exactly.
I've seen Messi miscontrol the easiest pass in the world before. And look, I'm not comparing Leno to Messi, but I'm just saying everyone will make a mistake. The difference is that because you're a goalkeeper, you make a mistake, it's 9 times out of 10, it's going to be a goal. You know,
yeah.
I think you look at just what he did just with that save, and then you look at the game before, the Barte game, just making saves at key times in games where if he doesn't make the save, the game can go in a very different direction. And that has a huge knock-on effect to other games down the line and stuff. So I just think for what we paid for him, he's looking really, really good value.
Absolutely, mate. Absolutely agree. Right, on 25 minutes, my notes are Bournemouth really back in this game, and they were at the point. But within kind of 2 minutes of me writing that down, they're pressurising us in the box. They misplace a pass. Mkhitaryan picks it. I'm on the wrong goal. That's pathetic, isn't it? I apologise, people. I am sorry. I'm not as good as Unai Emery on the team today, so I do apologise. We turn over ball. Mkhitaryan. Jesus. Talk me through it, John. Talk me through the second goal, please.
Are you okay, Jace? Just to make it easy for you, Jace. Mkhitaryan does get the ball, and he plays wonderful ball into Mesut Ozil. Absolutely beautiful ball into the Renry saying you're still pissed.
They're all piling in now.
He plays a beautiful ball into Mesut Ozil in the box. And Ozil could go for the shot, and he's got every right to, but Ozil does exactly the right thing. He just holds it just long enough for Mickey to get it back on the other end. Beautiful 1-2 back into him, completely selfless. What Mesut loves doing. And Mkhitaryan puts it in. And this, I think for me, is probably the best performance I've seen from Henrik Mkhitaryan in an Arsenal shirt tonight. He was getting, like, I know it's Bournemouth and people saying don't go over the top and everything. And yeah, that's fair enough. I agree. You know, we are very good at home and they're not great away. The record against the top six, et cetera, et cetera. But you still got to go out there and put in the performance. And I thought Mkhitaryan tonight was really, really good. He got a standing ovation from some of the fans as he came off, because it wasn't just his forward play. It was, like you say, breaking up play, intercepting balls and everything. And I think the other side of it as well, we saw a little bit of what Emery ball is kind of supposed to be. We did see pressing, but what we also saw was we'll play the ball around the back. We'll draw the team onto us.
Yeah.
you know, if they win it, we'll try and exploit either a mistake pass from then, or we'll suck them onto us just enough that we can just get that quick bang bang pass and we're through and we're clean at their goal. And we just exploit the space in behind. And when you've got Mkhitaryan and you've got Ozil when they're playing in their own song, you're going to see the best of that tonight. And I thought those two really dovetailed together really, really nicely.
I got, well, my notes were Mickey goal, turn of the ball, 1-2 with Ozil, nice. And I've misread the 1-2 as the scoreline. And that's what confused me. It's rubbish, isn't it? I'm so sorry, people. I do apologise. But this is the thing with Mkhitaryan. I thought he started the game very well. Okay. I thought, you know, he started the game very well. But after this goal, his enthusiasm and his zest for the game just went through the roof. You could just see him. He was enjoying his football. And it's the first time I've seen him enjoy his football this season.
Yeah, it's kind of, I mean? He strikes me as a bit of a confidence kind of guy. I mean, yeah. You saw him at United and Europa League. All right, it's a slightly different level to the Premier League, so maybe it was a bit easier for him. But under Mourinho, he bullied him, basically. And he didn't put the arm around him. He didn't treat him the way he likes to be treated as a player. And some guys need that. Emery's come in. He clearly really likes Mkhitaryan. He played him, I thought, even when he was out of form. But he kept faith in him because he knows he's that kind of player who needs it. And, you know, he comes back from his injury. And he's been huge for us because we've so missed having that another person, another runner, some movement around, whether it was Aubameyang or Lacazette or whoever was up front. We needed that kind of player there because it was all on Iwobi before that because there was just basically no one else. And having Mkhitaryan back in is so good.
Yeah, this is the thing that got me was, okay, like you talk about, yes, we did press at times and yes, we hung off and when we did have the ball, we were more than prepared to break or just to play it round the back and then wait for the space and wait for the man to be on free. It just looked to me as if Mkhitaryan was always free tonight and he hasn't always been free, if you know what I mean. You know, yeah. I like his link-up play. His link-up play is one of his great strengths. But tonight, I just thought we saw a level of enthusiasm and a level of enjoyment on the park from him, which we haven't seen for a long time. But to bring a dampener on things, you know, we are the Arsenal. We can't keep a clean sheet, can we? We can't do three in a row. No. Leno plays the ball out to Guendouzi now. Yes, Guendouzi does take one touch too many. Let's make no bones about it. But there doesn't seem to be a shout for him. Mm. Or if there was, he didn't hear it or he just, you know, he had a brain fart.
Yeah.
But I didn't see, he could have played it back to Leno, but I didn't see anybody else showing for him or, you know, there was a lack of help for him there. He gets caught in possession and Mousset scores.
Yeah.
People are talking foul. I've got to be honest with you, I didn't think there's any foul in there. I think he's just been caught cold and we've paid the price, unfortunately. What were your thoughts on it?
I think he's tried to play for the foul, Guendouzi, which because he's under the pressure, he can't do anything else because he knows he's lost the ball. So you try and at least make it look a foul. I think it was Gosling who made the tackle on him and then lays it into Mousset and, you know, Gosling's the right thing. But yeah, I don't know if he's not got, like you said, I don't know if he's got not got a shout there or anything. He took a little bit too long on the ball, Mateo, made a bit of a mistake, and you could see he was annoyed with himself afterwards. Again, like we said, sometimes it's going to happen with him, he'll make a mistake, but it's one of those things, you have to persevere with it. The team have to rally around him, and that's the thing. This could have been easily, it's 2-1 now, heads drop, but we didn't.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Bournemouth obviously took a little bit of a lift from it because you're going to, naturally, you get a goal back out of, you know, not a lot when you're 2-0 down because they went 2-0 down just as they started to come into the game a little, which is going to be disheartening. But you get that goal back and it gives you a bit of a lift. But we kept going and just saw out the rest of the first half. And I thought we were sensible in that in the way we did it. We didn't lose our heads.
I'm going to come back to the bit on trying to buy a free kick in a second. But you then see Josh King booked for diving in the box.
Yeah.
Good decision.
It's tough with diving because I think there's times where, right, we said this before, like Lacazette is too honest a striker and doesn't go down easy enough.
Yeah.
much to some ladies' disappointment.
I
had to throw it out there. I'm sorry.
You had a pop at me last week for having a go at you with this sort of thing.
I know, it's terrible. You know what it was? It was because someone said, I'm not going to go into it anyway. There was a picture of Lacazette in a particular pose, looked like he was enjoying something from a lady. let's move on. He doesn't buy a foul enough. We've accused him of that sometimes because he's too honest. So I think that if you're a striker and you feel contact, your natural inclination is to go down and try and get it. I didn't think it was a foul. Does that mean it's a blatant dive and should be a booking? I honestly don't know. This isn't like, let me put it this way. This is not in the same vein as Dele Alli or Son or someone like that who jumped from the air and, you know.
I thought he jumped into, was it Coz? I think it was Coz. I think he jumped into him. I think he left his feet and jumped into the man, and that's why the referee booked him, in which case, kudos to the referee.
I don't have a problem with it. I think it's fine and it's good. You know, more players should be booked. That's true. I just think sometimes there's this very difficult balance. This is why I would never want to be a referee, of trying to go, well, hang on a minute, as a striker, he's got to try and make it as obvious as me as possible so that he can see that he's been fouled. But at the same time, is he just trying to buy a foul and there's no contact whatsoever? Or is he actually making the most of something that wasn't really contact and he's just stumbled, or, you know, that kind of thing? But it was the right decision that it was not a penalty. That's
absolutely. Jamie, we're going to come on to that a bit later on, because we got two challenges in this game where I thought, oh, it's a decision for the referee. Now, Socrates on Fraser, he goes off his feet, the studs in the air, he picks up a yellow. I do think he tries to pull out. I just think he's caught cold.
I shouldn't have made the comment. Now everything you say is going to get.
I know. Oh, don't do it. But yeah, Socrates picks up a yellow for that. Could it have been red?
Yeah, I mean, yes. Would it have been harsh? Maybe to the letter of the law. Stud showing. It's so finicky. That's the thing. This is why I do not want to be a referee. I would never want the job. Because look, as Arsenal fans, we're going to say, look, okay, yeah, he's pulled away from the challenge and tried to not harm the player or whatever, but he's caught him, so it's not red. So a Bournemouth fan might say, well, his studs are showing. By the letter of the law, that's a red card. You know, that's... So I think the difference, you know, there's no intent, but then it's like, how do you read for intent? That's down to interpretation as well. I think yellow was fair in the end. But yeah, another referee could have given that as a red.
Yeah, and it
I think Socrates knew as well when he committed the foul. He was like, I could be in trouble here. You could tell, you know.
I genuinely looked at it and I thought, I don't think there's any intent there. But, you see, and this is the thing, we've got the benefit of the replay.
Yeah.
On that replay, if that's against us, if that's a foul from Fraser on Socrates, I'm asking for a red.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And it was just one of those, I thought, oh, stay on your feet there.
Yeah.
You know, but a thing. But we're coming back now to the buying free kicks bit. You saw an incident on the left-hand side in our own half. Torreira, first of all, goes down. He's beaten to the ball. He goes down looking for the free kick. And I'm sorry, I don't care what anybody says in this chat box now. You may be having a go at me, guys, but this is the honest way I see it. He goes down and he stays down trying to buy the free kick. Then Guendouzi comes in. He gets beaten to the ball. It's all a bit of a melee. He goes down and stays down looking for the free kick. In the meantime, yeah, there's no head injury. Play goes on. Super Corporal Jenks breaks up play. Okay. Super Corporal Jenks saves these pair of twats. Okay. Because to be honest with you, I'm getting a bit sick and tired. You know, yes, it's great to buy a free kick now and again. But they stayed down and they knew the referee wasn't going to give them that free kick. And then they get up all looking sorry for themselves. It could have been 2-2.
Yeah, I mean, it's stupid, but I love the fact that Jenkinson, who I definitely want to talk about when we talk about individuals later, went steaming in to the next tackle as hard as he could. Now, whether he thought Guendouzi and Torreira had been fouled or not, did the right thing. And I just love that he just absolutely tore it. I don't know what Bournemouth player it was, but he tore in and went in as hard as he could to try and win that ball back, and made sure he got a bit of the player as well. I love Jenkinson. He's amazing. I never thought this season's been so bizarre. Everything's backwards. I don't get it. You know, Ozil gets discarded for half the season, and Jenkinson, whenever he plays, we can't lose. All we do is win with Jenkinson. He's amazing.
I got to be honest with you. His appetite, his desire to get to every single ball. You got those two pair of twats, and I'm sorry. Okay, somebody's put in there. I do apologise, but I missed the name. I do apologise. John Bernstein's been there. Both used to continental refs. That's fair enough, okay? But they knew the knew the free kick wasn't coming, and the pair of twats stayed down trying to buy the free kick. Meanwhile, Jenks is like a headless chicken. His desire to win that ball is magnificent, and kudos to Jenks, because there's another bit here. Where we're going to come on to it in a second, where he does himself proud. Next bit of play, you go. Kolasinac puts in a cracking cross into the box. It's every striker's dream, and nobody's following it in. Really disappointed Aubameyang and the rest of the guys there. But the ball comes back out, and Guendouzi, really tight angle, has a crack. He wins the corner, forces Boric into a save. Another side of Guendouzi's game, he's not scared to have a go at goal, is he?
Yeah, he's got confidence and backs his ability, which I like. You've got to have that as a player. I think he's smart enough to know when to pass. Like, you won't see him just take the ball and, you know, try and run past three people with it and not lay off the ball, that kind of thing. But he will go forward if he's got the opportunity. And I think this kind of tag of him being like a defensive midfielder, I think is a little bit off. I'm not sure he really is that. I think he's much more of a progressive player. And like you said earlier, when you talk about his passing, I think he's much more of a forward-thinking midfielder than he is defensive. The reason why I think people maybe labelled him as that early on is because of his ability to get about the pitch. And I think that's got more to do with his energy levels than him actually wanting or necessarily being a defensive midfielder. Don't get me wrong, he can put in a tackle and he can track back and everything, and that's great. But I think that is just his general fitness and the engine the kid's got.
If I'm honest with you, I don't think it's about... when people sort of put the tag of defensive midfielder on him, I think it's his shape, with the way he likes to play the ball. Do you know what I mean? He's relaxed. He never gets ahead of the ball too much. You know, you're not going to see him, you know, making a break forward and then the ball coming into him. Yeah. What you're seeing is a guy who'll drive forward with the ball. Mm. And I think, you know, the way he shapes up when he passes, etc. I think that's maybe why the tag's been given to him. But he is up and down. You've got to give the guy credit. He'll sneak up and... break a play. His movement is very good. He's got this language style. I get you now, Jamie. Sorry, mate. He's got this language style on the ball. He's a bit, you know, he's a bit gangly, but it's the way he addresses the ball more than anything else, I think. You know, he's not like, you know, we got Ramsey who's right, he's laying the ball off and he's breaking into space. He's not quite in that mould, you know what I mean? And I think that's where it comes from. From the resulting corner, and coming to you now, Jamie Fitzgerald, Bournemouth win the ball, and they try to play out and break as quickly. And Jenks, with a stretch out of gymnastics competition, puts his foot on the ball and stops it dead. He could have saved us there. And as Jamie Fitzgerald is back in with another donation, and he says, was that Jenkinson or was that Cafu? And I couldn't agree more. But
you've done it as well? You've called him Fitzgerald instead of Fitzgrade.
Oh, I'm sorry, mate.
It's my fault, Jamie. It's because I said it earlier.
No, it's
and Jason
not
isn't fault. Drunk. It's not. Jason's not drunk, we promise.
It's because I'm a bit of a tit, to be honest with you. I do apologise. You know, you look, come on, you've been listening to this show long enough, you know I'm a bit of a tit, so just let's get on with it. Apologies, Jamie, you're a star, mate. But yeah, you know, you saw that desire from Jenkinson, which means I think his form recently, you can put this guy in for a big game. You know, I think, you know, I wouldn't be scared of seeing him in a big game.
Mm. There's a few people saying, like, should he start the derby at the weekend? And for a guy who has played very sporadically this season, if you think the periods between the games he's had have been quite big gaps every time he's performed. And I know, obviously, away at Spurs is a very different prospect to home against Bournemouth, but there is not one player on the pitch that game is going to mean more to than Cole Jenkinson, let's be honest, because he really is one of us.
And what? And 23500 says, Welsh tits, I haven't seen these in the garden. You may not have seen me in the garden, pal, but other people have. What he does give you is a hell of an engine. He's a hell of an athlete. He'll be up and down all game. And I think at times, you know, a lot of thing about defending is just being a menace. It's just being in the area. It's putting them off that pass. So I wouldn't be scared to do it. I've got to be honest with you.
Yeah, yeah. I'd stick with him. Our very own Mr. Hollick. Jenko plays well when given a run. Stay with him. I think he's right. I don't see why you would drop him for the game, to be honest. But look, it's Emery. I don't know.
Emery, who knows what Paella boy's going to do? I have no idea. It's that time. That's the first half. It's that time of day again. Okay. Oh, here we go. Fitzgerald is my DJ name, and you got my real name spot on, lads. I knew I'd seen Fitzgerald somewhere before, which is, just to clarify, it's because it always happens. Call me whatever. Jamie, we call you a rock star, because that's what you are. And you're a DJ, so you're a superstar DJ. Well done. But it is that time of day again. Archie's got it right. Tappy, tappy. Don't mess about. Don't sit there, just look at the screen and think, oh yeah, I'm enjoying this pair of idiots talking nonsense. And, you know, let's take the mickey out of them. I've got an opinion on this. Let's get into that chat box and give my opinion. Don't do that. There's a like button there. There's a like button. You know what to do with the like button. Tappy, tappy. Let's get going, people. Don't let yourselves down. Don't let your parents down. Don't let your employers down. Don't let your children down. Your children will grow up knowing that you didn't tap that like button, and they will be ashamed of you. And in 30 years' time, okay, you know, when you're getting old, they'll turn around and say, Dad, I think you're a bit of a twat. You didn't go tappy-tappy, did you? You didn't press that like button. I'm ashamed of you, Dad. I'm really ashamed of you because you're an embarrassment to the family. Now get on with it. And Lee Beaton, I like your dislike as well, pal. Lovely. Well done. Get on with it. Thank you very much, guys. We're on 105. Come on, 120, please. Let's go. And as Daddy says, stroke it for John. Stroke the button for John. Right, let's get on with this because I'm going to lose my shit. I got loads of shit to do here. It's unbelievable. Right, second half kicks off, and before we know it, akin to the first half, okay, right up, we score pretty quickly. You see a well worked move on the right hand side. A great cross from Mkhitaryan, and Koscielny just gets on the end of it. What I really like. The keeper, you know, it's gone over the line. The keeper knocks it out, but Aubameyang follows up again. He, you know, fantastic finish from Koscielny. He thought he really deserved that goal on his performance today. And really, really good of see Aubameyang following up. And Mkhitaryan adding to that an already impressive performance.
Yeah, he was really, really good. And I like the fact there was options in the box. It wasn't just Aubameyang to hit, you know, Koscielny's there. And I know it's obviously, it's worked back from a set piece and stuff. But the way we moved the ball when everything and moved it forwards, the move was really nice. We did which is now sort of deemed the classic Unai thing of getting to the byline and the pullback. It was invented before Unai and it was invented before the Premier League, believe it or not. People did do it, but it's, you know, it's a very effective way to score goals. But Koscielny was calm, collected. bangs it in. Look, if you're a keeper, you're always going to try and chuck it back out, even though they've got the goal line technology. I love the fact Alba smashed it back in afterwards, though, because he's like, oh, yeah. I might nick a goal here. He was like desperate because he hadn't scored one for like, I think it was like three games before or something. He hadn't scored for a few goals. He was desperate to get on the score sheet. But yeah, really, really good goal for Koscielny, and really pleased for him because he's put in, you know, quietly since he's come back from a really difficult injury at his age, with already with the problems he had with his Achilles as well. I think he's done really well. And the fact he's managed to play this much is, you know, it's not just him, but it is a big testament to him in his attitude and in his physical training and how he's looked after himself, but also to the medical staff at Arsenal, you know, the new guys and the fitness coaches and stuff. They've done really, really well in the way they've managed him, because I didn't think he'd be able to play this many games.
I've got to be honest, you know, he still worries me because he's had a hell of an injury. And that does have, you know, that will have repercussions down the line. But, for, you know, credit to him. I thought tonight, look, I do think Bournemouth are dreadful. But I thought what Koscielny did on the pitch, whenever he had something to face, he did it, and he did it excellently tonight. And, you know, you all know me. I don't mind giving cause stick when he screws it up, but you've got to give the guy credit as well, and he was superb tonight, and it's brilliant to see that. Talking of brilliant, Mika for life, I haven't forgotten you. No, Mika for life, I will never forget about you. You are a rock star. Piles in with $5.99 and he says, you need a drink, Jason. Tappy, tappy. Mate, I had enough drink on Saturday to sink a battleship. I can't do it anymore. I'm too old, I'm too crap, I'm just a tit. So, yeah, forget it. But thank you ever so much, Mika. You're a rock star. Then we see another 1-2 corner, John. But it actually gets to the edge of the box. Torreira takes a shot and skies one. I didn't really care about skying it. I was just so impressed with the fact that a 1-2 corner got into the box and didn't go straight back to Leno. It's great, isn't it?
It is nice. There have been a couple of times this season where we've taken the short corner or we've taken a normal corner, and rather than us creating a chance, we're back at the other end defending, or Leno's pulling us out of the shit sometimes. That's what I like about Torreira, that he's, again, when he gets the ball, you can see he's always, the first thing in his mind is, I'm just going to shift this slightly to the right and I'm going to absolutely spank it and take a hit. Right, it wasn't a great shot in the end, but the fact that we've actually got players willing to take shots for a change was very, very nice.
Absolutely. On 56 minutes, we see Kolasinac replaced by Iwobi. Good to see Iwobi back after that injury scare from the weekend. And we go to a back four. I just think we're a lot better with a back four. I was really pleased to see that. And not long after that, we see Aubameyang, the goal. And this is the one I got mixed up with earlier on. Bournemouth are attacking us. We're in our own box. They misplace a pass to Mkhitaryan. And I think this really sums up Mkhitaryan's game. He turns on it, just goes. He breaks hell for leather. And it's a fabulous pass straight through to Aubameyang. It was inch perfect. Aubameyang takes it in stride. He's beating every pace around the keeper. Bingo. I was just so pleased for the pair of them. I just thought it was a thing of beauty. I thought it was, you know, it was everything I've been wanting to see from us for a while. And it was there tonight. What are your thoughts, John?
Obama Rasklat Yang, as Ian Wright said. He's done a little interview with him that's coming up, I think. I'm assuming it's going to be Saturday on the BBC. That will be up before the Derby game. It will probably be on his YouTube and stuff. So, that's what he started calling him. That run from Mkhitaryan, I mean, when he got the ball and he was breaking through, I thought, okay, someone's going to bring him down in a minute. And they had Charlie Daniels around him. He had Gosling and someone else, and they're all over him. He just piled through all of them. And, you know, this isn't like it's the first 10 minutes of the game. This is later on, and he's got the energy to do that. The run and then the passing, it's perfect weight. I will say I'm not quite sure why Bournemouth decided to give Aubameyang that much room. I mean, he takes the perfect position between two centre-backs, but why there is a gap of almost 20 yards between them, I've got no idea. Calm, cool, takes it around the keeper, puts it in. That was that was like watching Aubameyang and Mkhitaryan when they're at Dortmund. That looked like one of those sort of goals. Just Aubameyang knows, okay, Mkhitaryan's got the ball. All I've got to do is just get in position and he's going to put it on a plate for me. And he's got the acceleration to get past someone. And something like our old mate Drew always used to say when he was on it, pace kills, just absolutely kills teams. And whereas before we had maybe an Oxlade-Chamberlain or a Theo Walcott and you weren't always confident you were going to get the end product, now we've got Aubameyang and, yeah, just brilliant. Absolutely loved him. And he really needed that goal as well. We needed a bit of confidence because he hadn't scored for a couple.
Do you know what? I love the positivity of the whole thing, okay? Mm. You know, we pick up the loose ball, bingo. There was no second thought in it. It was, I'm going for this. I see the gap. I'm going to exploit it. And from start to finish, it was magnificent. And it's lovely to see. It's also nice to see Aubameyang as play to Aubameyang's strengths, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
You know, I know it's only a snapshot of it, but that's what he can give you. And it was lovely to see. We then see a lovely little bit of play. Iwobi to Ozil, Ozil back to Iwobi. Iwobi hits the side netting, but it really showed the intent in the team, didn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. It wasn't, okay, you know, was that three or four at that point? That was four, wasn't it? You know, it wasn't, okay, we're going to sit back. What I liked was that they didn't overexert themselves. You know, they didn't go balls out to go like 10-0 and try and put up and waste too much energy before the Tottenham game. But in the periods where they had the chance and they had the time to do it, they just increased the tempo just enough. The little nutmeg for Ozil to the ball into Iwobi was beautiful as well. And Iwobi trying to be really, really cheeky with a finish just into the near post. Just really good. And I like the fact that Iwobi, after he had that sort of injury scare in the previous game against Fulham, he came on and he looked straight away at the pace of the game. You know, and I always think he plays so much better when Ozil was on the pitch as well.
The outlets were there today. Yeah. I'm used them. It was really nice to see. I enjoyed Ozil's performance. I got to be honest though, I wasn't impressed the first half. I thought we let a bad team back into it. But the second half, you just can't have any complaints about. And it's of all credit to Unai and the team, to be fair to them. We then see Mkhitaryan replaced by Lacazette. Gets a bit of a standing ovation from sections of the crowd. Well deserved, I thought. We have a Lacazette effort saved by Boric pretty soon after that. Then Leno makes a good save from King again. Then we see Aubameyang replaced by Suarez. Good to rest Aubameyang after his performance. Thought he worked hard.
Mm.
Then, now the next big talking point, Charlie Daniels, the challenge on Torreira. How the fuck is that not a red?
Yeah, that one was where we looked at the Socrates one and I said, you know, I could see a yellow, but yeah, you can argue for a red. The Daniels one, to me, that was so much more of a argument for a straight red card. I genuinely think if the game is a different scoreline and it's not the comfortable position we're in at 4-1 and where we're totally dominating it, then I'm guessing Daniels probably gets a red card and goes and walks. That's not the way it should be, but those kind of things go in through a referee's mind. I can't remember exactly where the referee is standing when he sees it either. You know I hate to dig out referees. I really don't like it. It's so much easier for us because you get to see all the replays. You get to see it from every single angle. You see the slow-mos and whatever. But it is such a bad tackle. And he's got no hope of getting the ball. I mean, it's lovely feet from Torreira as well. You know, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
Just the little the shuffle and stuff. But, yeah, how that isn't given as a red card. Because it's not just that it's a bad tackle. I think that's actually, like, dangerous play. And it's unfortunate because it's the one sort of sour note, I think, from the game as well.
Yeah, I don't think Daniels is a dirty player, but I thought the challenge reeked of frustration.
Yeah, that was like, I'm annoyed, we're getting, you know, we weren't taking the piss out of them, but they just couldn't get anywhere near us at that point.
Absolutely. And do you know what? I just see it as, I got no issue with Charlie Daniels. He's never struck me as a dirty player. He's never struck me as a bad guy. You know what I mean? He's one of those players. I think he's a good, honest pro. But I think you look back on that and think, shit, did I really do that? You know?
Yeah.
So that's just really frustrating. Before we go to the repercussions of that challenge, We've got another one. Hunter Bunn. Oh, he's in the donation of $10 and a cent. See, I didn't use penny. I said cent. Just for you, Hunter. And he says, usual iTunes listener for years in Florida. Nice to be able to get on my headphones. I'm leaving work to donate. Hope you have for a similar score on the weekend. Make sure Danny gets the extra penny. Hunter, you're an absolute rock star. And I love the fact people put in 99s or a penny just to annoy Danny. Hunter, mate, thank you ever so much. Thank you for your support. Thank you for being on other platforms. But great to see you in the chat box. And we'll make sure Danny gets the penny. He needs it to move the cat food outside his front door. That's another story, though. Thank you ever so much, Hunter. Well done, mate. Cheers, pal. From the resulting free kick, John, Lacazette steps up. And that's all I can say is, ooh la la.
Oh, my man crush just gets stronger and stronger every day. That he's so, it sounds really cheesy. I don't know any other word to describe him other than cool. He is so, just everything about him. And I said, look, all I'm going to say, that I mean, his footballing ability is ridiculous. I think he's such a good striker. Like the first touch he has is a shot on goal when he comes onto the pitch. Beautiful ball in from Guendouzi. We win the free kick. Torreira, who's been taking free kicks and actually looked pretty decent at him, Lacazette's like, no, I'm getting a goal. I'm scoring a goal. You're not getting anywhere near this. And just like the wall was great. I love the Iwobi and I think it was Socrates. Like, we're not budging from this spot because we know where our man's going to put it. And we're going to just make a gap just wide enough for him to squeeze it through. It's a great finish. I love Lacazette. I think he's been a brilliant signing. I think he's been our best player all season. I love absolutely everything about him. His attitude, his work rate, his technique on the ball, the way he brings players into the game. Really pleased that he got a goal. I mean, it's always great when both your strikers score. Especially going into the game that we're going into at the weekend, it is so big. But the confidence to just come on and do that is brilliant.
Do you know the thing that gets me is, and I say this to about a lot of the squad, but I'll specifically mention Lacazette and Aubameyang, is the way they embrace the game, they embrace the club. They play with intent. They play, you know, you can see the enjoyment on their face. You know, they play with ambition. Okay, you know, the reason I love Rambo is not just because he's Welsh. Obviously, the Welsh thing has an effect for me. You know, but it's people who play with ambition. Who, you know, you can see they want to embrace everything about the club, about the game. And I think we've waxed lyrical about him this season, but I must admit, I was so chuffed to see that go in because it's a type of goal we haven't seen much of from him this season. So another string of the bow, and credit to the boys in the wall, as you said, because they made the space.
Yeah,
and that's equally as important. Jackasaurus has just put in the box here. Spurs haven't won a meaningful trophy since 1991. I wasn't even alive. Now, I am going to turn round, okay, right now, and I'm telling you one thing now, Jackasaurus, I was bloody alive, okay?
Yes,
and
I had so to watch
that semi, I had to watch that effing semi-final, okay? And of all the twats to score a hell of a goal, Gary Lineker, and I'm still pissed at that. So not only do I feel really old right now, okay? Really old, okay? But I had to watch that cup final as well. I was pissed for that as well. I can tell you that for nothing. God, did I want Forrest to win that? Oh, I really was. I'd have worn a Forrest jersey for that one. you see, another good clearance from Koscielny from Josh King. It was a kind of cross-stroke shot. He got it wrong. But, you know, it kind of showed the game he was having. Then we see the Koscielny injury scare. Again, a clash with King. King's breaking. Koscielny, he comes across. And, you know, he's got these challenges wrong before, but he got this perfectly timed. Unfortunately, King, you know, King studs hit the knee. First question. A, did you think it was intentional from King? And then B, Cos went down in what seemed like agony, okay? But what I will say is, if there was any risk to him, why do we leave him stay on the pitch when there's 2 minutes to go?
So the last question I'll take first. I think, personally, I would have just said to him, just come off. For me, that's what I would say. And you can shuffle, you know, Guendouzi or whoever back in there if you need to, and, you know, just to tighten up. It's 2 minutes, it's 5-1, it doesn't matter. You know, even if we conceded the goal, but no one's going to care. It's fine. Is it accidental? I think it... I want to give him the benefit of the doubt. That's the thing, the player. But there is the argument of he can clearly see Koscielny's coming in. Can he try and do more to avoid putting his studs in where he did? I don't know. It's really, I honestly can't call it. I don't know. People are like, oh, don't sit on the fence, John. Stop defending the players. But I genuinely don't know.
Okay, I don't think it was intentional. I got to be honest with you. You know, like, I've stamped on a few people before on the rugby pitch. And yeah, to get that sort of accuracy, you know, you're asking something. Andrew Jones, I'm not happy with you, fella. I'm really not happy with you, fella. Okay? You git. I'll come to that in the questions. But, oh, you utter git, Andrew Jones. I'll explain why I'm calling him a git later. To Jonas Segtnan Berg, he's just come in with some krona and he says 64 isn't old though, you cheeky git, Jonas, but thank you for the donation. Well played, mate. Thank you so much. We got your question coming up in the question section as well. You absolute, there's a pair of gits in there. I'm not happy with this. I'm not sure if I'm going to answer him, Jonesy's. I was in school with Andrew. I was in school with Andrew, you shitbag. We're like the only, there was only two gooners in our year. Well, in our school, I think.
Oh, there's Jason Davis of 1D. That must have been your class, Dave.
Yeah,
there we go.
Yeah. You're an absolute shitbag, Jonas. You're an absolute shitbag. You get. I'm not happy now. I'm not happy. I'd have brought him off. I don't think it was intentional. I think he's gone for the ball. He's stretched. It's just that's the way it is, you know. And that was it. That was it. No, Ronry, it was not Taffy Taffy. It really was not. Okay. It really was not. It's a 5-1 win, mate.
Yeah.
That's a good night's work, especially with the lead up to Derby.
Look, we had the Barté game, which was so disappointing, and from that we win some games. I think the performances have improved from game to game. I think the second half in particular tonight was really, really good. Yes, I do think Bournemouth are poor, and obviously they're not on a great run of form. But you know, you can only play what's in front of you. I liked the individual performances from, I thought Ozil's got better as these run of games have happened. Tonight was his best performance so far. So hopefully that's a trend that continues. Mkhitaryan was really good tonight as well. Really, really performed, not just on the forward half of the game, but on the defensive part as well. I thought Jenkinson was excellent. I think he is a real genuine option for big games, not just for the sort of so-called easy ones. And I hope he is genuinely considered for not just the Spurs game, but other ones coming up, because I do think he is a great option to have. I think you look at the form of Kolasinac as well, how much that's improving. Aubameyang got his goal, which he needed. I don't think he was necessarily playing badly, but he did need the goal. Just that little confidence boost. Lacazette comes on, scores a great goal as well. Leno's been improving from game to game. So from that, you know, let's be honest, we were in a bit of a, not a slump necessarily, but performance-wise and sort of the mood around the club, or the fans at least, it wasn't great, you know, and it certainly wasn't on here, at least with me and you, because we're generally the most miserable two, or most honest, I should say.
I think if you look at the football we've played, you know, especially after the 22 match winning run, and you look at some of the football we've played after that and some of the setups against Fulham, Cardiff, etc., Southampton game, West Ham, okay? Mm. We played some fucking awful football.
Yeah.
Okay, we have played some awful, awful football, right? And there's no two ways about it, right? But it's refreshing to be able to credit the guys and to see, you know, almost a change in mindset, you know? So, you know, you've got to look at this and you've got to say, you know, right, we've been through the tough times, you know.
The thing is, we were always going to have them this season. There was always going to be down periods, and there was always going to be games where we played bad football. Even if we got results or not, it was going to happen.
Yeah, and that's part and parcel. But the one thing, I'm going to say straight to you, okay? I see people saying, oh, don't be negative, don't be this, don't be that. Go fuck yourselves. And nobody's being negative, we're just being honest. We were honest last season about what it was like under Arsene. We had to sit through all that shit last season away from home, and we told it the way we saw it, okay? Now we're saying it the way we see it under Unai. Oh, no, don't be positive. And this is from people who cunted off, okay, Arsene, even when he was doing the right thing. So I'll take no fucking lessons from anyone on what we say on here and how we see it. We're always honest about it. But, you know, that's the way I kind of see it is, you know, we always try to give an honest opinion on the football we see and the results we see. You know, even when the football was bad, you know, hey, if it's still 3 points, you've got to give them credit for 3 points.
Yeah. And I think that's the difference in the last couple of games is that it's been results and it's been performances. Sometimes it hasn't been for the full 90 minutes, but there's been periods in games, and tonight was the longest period we've had in this recent run where we played some really nice football. And it wasn't just one or two, you know, it was a lot. It was near enough the whole team, like everyone's putting a shift in. And you need that momentum because we've got huge games coming up. Obviously, Spurs is a big one, but you have got United as well. And, you know, whatever people may think of Rennes, they're not doing very well in Ligue 1. In the Farmers League, which is officially now the Farmers League, because Lorient have actually got themselves a tractor.
No, it's Green Com.
Oh, Gangon, that's it. Sorry, Gangon. Yeah, because Lorient, I forgot Chris's team aren't even in Ligue 1, are they? They're not even in the Farmers League. But in Europe, Rennes have played some really, really nice football and have actually done really, really well. So again, it's not a given. It's not a gimme. So you've got to be in the right form and everything for these games coming up. So if we hit it at the right time like we are at the moment, perfect. I'm well happy with that.
It's the running for the season. This is the time where you need to play good football. Okay. Yep. Pitches are going to get harder, etc. Two things. Andrew Jones, you're an absolute git. Okay? Pipe down, fella. You're a bad man. And the pets for me. Now, the Pets from me earlier on stated Bournemouth are the best, and they're saying give Bournemouth credit. Pets for me, this is an Arsenal podcast, but to be fair to Bournemouth, they got 6 or 7 injuries, okay, and that's tough. You know, that's tough.
I like Bournemouth. I really like King. Obviously, they're missing Wilson, is it, up front?
Wilson, Brooks, big loss. There's a couple of the midfielders. Who's that England international?
Sam Fraser. Ryan Fraser is a Scottish lad, isn't he?
Ryan Fraser played today. Oh, it's the guy, he plays 10 for them. I can't remember. They've got a number of injuries, and I got to be honest with you, I think, you know, look, that's not their strongest team out there today.
No.
Okay. It's a team that's been struggling recently. I hope Bournemouth do well. I've got to be honest. I got no gripe with Bournemouth. When they beat us last season, they beat us well.
I know he didn't have a great game tonight, but I do very much like Nathan Aké as well. I think he's a decent player.
Yeah, to be honest, I think they're just struggling with injuries, aren't they? Mm. So it's one of those. I think, you know, it's tough to cope with. You know, you've heard a lot more about injuries all season. Well, they've got 6 or 7 of them, and that's a hell of a thing when you're looking at a club of that size and the talent pool they have. Right, let's get on to questions. Here we go. I'll tell you what, I can't believe that git Jonesy is doing that in there. He's a shitbag.
So I should ask you about Gaynor Ellis after the show, yeah?
No, you really should. Was it Gaynor Ellis? I'm not sure. Fucking hell, as bad as. In any case, right, Michael Hahnemann opens up the questions and he says, based on their performances tonight, Do you start both Ozil and Mickey against Spurs in the weekend?
That's a drama. Really, really hard. I definitely start Mkhitaryan. Look, this is not a personal thing against Ozil. I just think the way they press and the energy they sort of put into game Spurs, I'd maybe go with, would I go with Ramsey? I think there's an argument for, and I'm going to argue for Ozil. This is very rare. I would argue for Ozil to start. If you play one up front, you play Ozil at 10, you have Mkhitaryan and Iwobi either side, and you bring Ramsey on later in the game because of the pace and the energy he's got and how he will press a team, and he can exploit that against a tired Spurs defence. The argument against Ozil, I would say, is that Spurs will be slight favourites just because they're at home. I know it's a derby and we don't like saying that, but it's kind of the way it is. And, you know, they are above us in the league at the moment for a reason. Not by much anymore, by the way. Thanks, Chelsea. Wankers. But it's going to be a very, very tough game. So I don't know. Nothing to do with Ozil's form, because I think he's been playing really well. But it's one of those games where you just have that little doubt about him.
He's two games back into a comeback, Rello. Yeah. No matter who Unai starts with, I'm not sure what... I would personally start... I'd go 4-3-3 and park in midfield. Mm. Okay? I really would, okay? But this is not going to be an 11-man game. It's not going to be 11 against 11. This is a 14-man game for each side, okay?
Oh, we know he goes into games and he has a plan of who's coming on, who's coming off, that kind of thing already. Yeah.
The subs are going to be intricate to what both managers want to achieve, okay? They're going to be so important, okay? I'm not going to be too bothered about who starts and who doesn't start. I think the setup's going to be important. I think who you're playing as your wing backs is going to be massively important. And I think stopping Son getting anywhere near the edge of our box is going to be huge. I mean, we don't know. Apparently, Harry Kane's been a bit of a twat again tonight. There's this talk of a headbutt. I'm not sure what the hell is going on there.
He might have just been trying to speak and just tripped over his own lip or something. You never know.
He dribbled and slipped, you mean? but we'll have to wait and see what comes of that, okay? I don't know. I haven't seen it. It's just the chat box. Mm. But I wouldn't look at who starts and think as the most important thing on this.
Yeah.
Okay. I think we can beat them. I don't have any problem with saying we can beat them, but they haven't got a home. They're in their tent, aren't they?
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah, they're not at home. Idiot. Yeah.
So, you know, they're camping at the moment. So we wait and see. We wait and see. On to the next question. Okay. John Bernstein. Oh, do you get John? What is your starting lineup for the NLD? Should we do this together?
Yeah, go on then. Are we doing what we would start with? Not because I can't predict what Emery's doing, because I always get that wrong.
Let's go what we'll start with. All right, Leno in goal, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Right back, I'm going for Jenks because of his engine.
Yeah? I'd go Jenks, yeah. So we're going back four, are we?
Are we going back four? Right. I'd go Mustafi, but you're going to pick Sokratis.
Yeah.
Yeah. Koscielny.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep. I'd go with that. Left back, Koller.
I'd go Nacho if you're putting Jenko. If you're playing back four, I'd play Nacho, yeah. Not against Kolasinac, just because I do really think Jenkinson's a very good player and he's much better than people rate him, and he played well tonight. They are strong in wide areas, Spurs, and that's where they will get in. And Kolasinac has improved defensively massively, don't get me wrong, but I just think Nacho is a little bit more sound. And I think at least having one of your fullbacks being a little bit more experienced, I just think would be more sensible.
Okay. The one thing I'd say about Nacho is I don't think you lose the attacking prowess. I just think it changes. It's more You know, he's technically excellent. So what you get,
it's
you
not
get
raw pace or power and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, the passes are beating the man more than anything, and he's excellent at interplay with no matter who he plays with there. So right, are we going to midfield three?
I would. Yeah, I mean, it's a three, but essentially Ramsey would be the sort of floating one, the one with a bit more freedom. Yeah.
Xhaka, Torreira, and Rambo at the tip. Yeah.
Yeah, that would be.
Yeah.
Mine.
Okay. Yeah. Right. Cool. Right hand wing Mkhitaryan.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Left hand wing, I'm going to say Iwobi.
Yeah, it's easy for me. Iwobi starts.
Yeah.
Definitely.
And your starting striker, I think it's got to be Lacazette because of the way he brings other players into it.
Absolutely. That would be mine. And I think the what you get from Aubameyang off the bench, I think, is excellent. I think even if you don't start with Ozil, he's great to bring on in the game on a big pitch because it is at Wembley. Yeah.
And they'll be tired then as well.
Yeah, you know. So the flip side of that is true as well. I do think even from the start, Ozil can still play very well. Whether we'll be as secure defensively, that's different. I tend to think Emery will probably play with a back three. Is my guess.
Let's be honest, okay? Emery's team will bear no resemblance to ours whatsoever.
Oh, yeah, no, he might play 4-4-2 or something crazy like that.
He's going to read the tea leaves in the morning and he's going to go nuts, you know? So let's just hope he brings home a win. Unique79 asks, mate, do you think Callum Chambers can play a defensive midfield role next season? Even Kolasinac played in defensive midfield, as well as left back and central defence for Schalke. What do you think?
He's played. He got unlucky because when Ranieri came in at Fulham, Callum Chambers had started to have a little run in midfield, and he'd been playing very well in that position. Could he play there long term? Maybe. I don't see why not. He's technically good enough on the ball, and he's done it for a few games at Fulham. Unfortunately, since Ranieri's come in, it's all gone to pot, and they should never have got rid of what was his name? Yankovic.
Yankovic.
Yeah,
he's awful. Yankovic is awful.
Oh yeah, but have you seen Fulham now under Ranieri? Oh.
No, I haven't watched him for a while. Look, I'd say this, okay? End of last season, You had Chambers doing a decent job at centre half for us. Yeah. Okay,
I like Callum Chambers. I think he's a line player, and he shouldn't be.
Yeah, and I got to be honest with you, the thought that Mavropanos starts ahead of Chambers, I think, is utter fucking nonsense. Guy's got four games for the Arsenal, whereas Chambers has got a lot more work. You know, he's got a lot more performances under his belt. Okay, I think we look at a £17 million signing. You know, in today's market, 17 million quid isn't a massive amount of money, not by any stretch of the imagination. You've got an experienced guy who did well at Borough, he did well for us last season, I thought, after an initial. I don't think he started badly, but he just wasn't being played. But him and Holding, you know, for the sake of 17 million quid, I think that, you know, I think you keep him and, you know, he has that ability to play a defensive midfield role.
Yeah.
You know, when you pick up injuries, you know, mid-season and what have you, it's nice to have that player who can fill two roles.
Yeah.
You know, so I would. Yeah.
And I think the other thing as well is they gave him that new contract and Emery seemed very happy with him. And I'm not entirely sure it was Emery's decision for him to go out on loan. I'm still not convinced it was Emery's decision. But
this is the thing. The decisions based around our centre-backs this season have been baffling. Okay, so let's wait and see. On to the next question. Dom Lloyd, the famous Dom Lloyd, says, was the whole benching Ozil thing just a clever way to motivate him and the rest of the squad? I'm going to give you a theory here. I want your opinion. I genuinely think Unai's got a bit of mental scarring from Neymar at PSG. You may disagree, but I think there's a bit of that in the back of his mind. And I think the whole Ozil thing is based around him wanting to, you know, solidify his position and lay down the law at the club. I see other players not tracking back and getting away scot-free with it. To single out Ozil, I think there's a bit more to it than meets the eye. But what are your thoughts?
First, I want to say thank you to the McManus for the donation, who says, bet Mike Dean ends up reffing the game. Fuck Spurs.
we love the McManus. He's a top man. And he's a great follow on Instagram as well.
I'm sure that I saw something about him. Wasn't he supposed to be the fourth official? And he's now been kicked off the game because Pochettino had a go at him or whatever. Did you see what Pochettino allegedly said to him?
No.
Apparently he said, well, that's your title season done. Or title that's your title chances done or something at the end of the Burnley game.
Oh,
look, look, if anyone's arrogant enough to say it, it's definitely Mike Dean.
Yeah, but that came from some Spurs account, didn't it? Come on, I don't believe that for one second.
No, I'm going to believe it and I'm going to laugh about it all season.
I can't believe something's obviously happened there, okay? But for what's happened to Arsene over the years, for Dean to be removed from Spurs' next game is an absolute effing disgrace.
But there is, I think there's talk about Pochettino being charged. Anyway, to get to your question, do I think it was, I'm not sure it was a clever move. And I get the Neymar comparison. I don't think it's the same. I think the PSG situation is so ridiculous that it's not like any other club in the world, in particular Neymar. They essentially paid whatever the ridiculous price was, like gave him the money to be an ambassador for Qatar so he could buy his own contract out. And, you know, it's absurd that just the money involved in it. And then he essentially has a direct phone line to, you know, a sultan of, you know, whatever oil rich country it is who owns the club and just says, I don't really like the manager or the formation they're playing. Can we play 4-3-3? Because Emery likes 4-2-3-1. PSG ended up playing 4-3-3 loads because Neymar wanted to play 4-3-3. That wasn't Unai's, you know, decision. That was Neymar's. Yeah. I get him trying to stamp his authority, but from all the people who know a lot more about him from Spain and everything that I don't know as much about, he's always been a guy who, if someone does their works hard enough, they'll get in the team. And if they do what he says, they'll play in the team. If they don't, they will be dropped. If they do really, really bad, they won't even get in the squad and they won't even make it on the bench. He's given him an opportunity to start the season. Didn't work out, dropped him. He came back in, gave him an opportunity again. He didn't do anything. Let's be honest. When he came back in that second time, he didn't pull up any trees and he looked pretty awful. There was the stories about him getting upset, having an argument, storming out of the training ground and everything else. If that's true or not, we don't know. If it is true, then Emery's well within his rights to drop him.
Yeah.
Look, as of right now, it's worked because he's performing. But like I've said many, many times before, I couldn't care less. If it gets us Champions League football and we win the Europa League, fucking crack on, Unai. Do whatever you got to do.
Yeah, look, it's all going to boil down to where he finishes it off the end of the season, isn't it?
And I think the thing is, the squad clearly like Ozil and they really enjoy him as a player. And also, I think they all like playing with him as well. It's pretty obvious. Yeah. They enjoy playing with him on the pitch. And you can definitely see that tonight.
It's one of those things, okay? If we miss out on top four and we don't do it in the Europa League, okay? You're going to look back at Southampton. You're going to look back at West Ham. You're going to look back on certain games and think, what the fuck happened there?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So, you know, it's all down
to... I think the Ozil thing will be highlighted, probably blown out of more proportion than it needs to be because I'm not sure... I don't know if anyone necessarily realises that Ozil's not a centre-back and it's more about the goals that we've conceded, but yeah.
Okay. You've used that way too often now.
It's
okay?
True, I'm just saying.
Hey, back in your box, okay? Jackosaurus comes in with a donation earlier on, and thank you ever so much, and big thanks to Pedro McManus as well, your star, mate. Thank you. And he says, should Arsenal buy from outside the top six or buy from the foreign leagues up the Arsenal?
Easy answer is yes. Why not? But, you know, if there's players good enough, and there always are, that aren't in the top six, then absolutely do it. If you can buy from a rival and weaken them at the same time as improving your squad, then you should definitely do that if you have the opportunity to. I mean, it's what Bayern Munich have done for, you know, 10 plus years in the Bundesliga. You know, it's what Man United did for a long time as well, when they were, you know, top dogs for however long in the 90s. So obviously you try and do that if you can, but yeah, there's no reason to not buy out the top six or you know, from foreign leagues. Absolutely. There's always talent there.
It's one of those things, okay, if you look at the boy Robertson at Liverpool, okay, he was with Hull when they went down.
Yep.
Okay, he's now the best right back in the league by a mile.
Left back.
Okay, you know, left back, sorry. Yeah. In the league by a mile, he's superb, okay? You look at the way, you know, look, if you look at City, Bayern, or what have you, or Man United, you know, buying to weaken opposition, okay, we're not in the financial position to do that.
No.
Right? So we can't do that. I just think, you know, if the scouting network is right and we get, it's just about buying the right players. It doesn't matter where they come from. No. You know, I'm prepared to go to the championship if you get the right fit for the team. You look at the boy at the Swans,
Dan James.
You look at the gas in him. I think he's worth a punt of 10, 15 million quid.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, you look at the kids, is it Morrison who went to Leicester? He was at Norwich last year. He looks perfectly capable to play in the Premier League. Looks a real talent, you know, got a real future ahead of him. So there's loads of players out there. You just got to find them.
Yeah. It's right place, right time sort of thing, isn't it? Pete Coulson asks, will Emery play Ozil in the North London Derby on Saturday? And would you? I'm saying, I don't think he starts. Would I, not with my preferred setup, but I don't see any reason why not.
Same for me. Same answer.
Cool. Okay. Unique79 asks, with Bournemouth out of the way, if we beat Spurs and Man United, do you think the rest of the season will end on a positive note?
Massively. I think you already said, you know, our run in after those two games, I think other than we've got Wolves away, maybe, which I think could be tricky. I think Wolves are a decent team. And our away form is not as good as our home form, obviously. That might be the one sticky patch. But yeah, no, you get those two games. If you get wins from both of them, the team's going to be absolutely buzzing. And you've obviously got the Europa League as well. Look, I think we're good enough to get past Rennes. Definitely.
Oh, come on, the fucking Farmers League team.
No, I don't want to jinx it. You can imagine Chris's face.
Look, I'm not even saying that to annoy Chris, okay? I think if he beats Spurs and if he beats United, okay, I think third is on the table there for us. I genuinely do. There's a thing in the Manchester News, and when the boys, Josh Dore put it in their group this week, where you predict wins and losses for the rest of the season, and it'll show you where people finish. Chris did it and had us to win the title, which I thought was really reasonable of him.
I think he clicked us to win every game. I think I did the maths on it, and we won every single game from now to the end of the season.
Yeah, he did, because we had 86 points under mine as well. And I picked it. And you know me, I'm only one-eyed, and I picked us to beat United and Spurs and all the rest of them. So I don't think, you know, look, Spurs is going to be a tough game. United is going to be a tough game, right? If we get 2 points out of those two games, then we can't mourn too much, okay? But, you know, we should be looking at minimum 4 points, you know, because I think we're good enough to do that. The big thing for me is there's nobody we got left to play, and I don't give a shit about Wolves. Yes, they've had a good first season, but they're not exactly fucking Barcelona, are they? Okay, let's be straight. I know we're good enough to win every single game, but we've also seen this season we can put a 22-match unbeaten run together. We can also lose to West Ham away, Southampton away. You know what I'm saying? You know, if we're in the right frame of mind, we can do very well. So yeah, let's just hope that sort of goes that way. I know we've answered this before, but Dave Faber, the mighty Dave Faber, who's been under the weather this week. So, Dave, a chin up from us. I hope you get better soon, pal. You are the legend. And he says, boys, let's address the elephant in the room. Back three or back four on Saturday?
I mean, we both went for a back four. I think Unai will go for a back three, but I prefer a back four.
Same, yeah. I think we got to go out and attack those fucks.
Yeah.
I really do. I just that's what I believe. Okay, but who knows with Emery? You know, I think you're very right in what you're saying. Gunnar73 asks, who do you drop from tonight, and who do you bring in for Saturday?
We've answered that.
Yeah, we've answered that, yeah.
Yeah. Gooner 73, so mate, give you a shout out because we've answered that. Jonas Segdnan. I'm sorry, I've never pronounced that correctly. I do apologise. Jonas Segdnanberg asks, okay, on a scale from it'll be fine to I'm having a heart attack, how do you react when each time Koscielny stays down after a tackle?
Oh, I mean, when he went down right at the end there and he was clutching his knee, that terrified. I was like, oh, that's it, his career's done. Honestly, just because the way he was reacting and sort of screaming about it. And it always does worry me. The weird thing is, afterwards, I thought about it, and I don't know, you obviously played a lot of sport, Jace, a lot of rugby in particular. When you get like an impact injury like that, I always tended to sort of roll about or like punch the floor or whatever and be more vocal. When you get like a genuine, like really bad injury, when you've done your ankle or something, and I've snapped, done my Achilles a couple of times, my tendon and that, I broke my ankle, the right one twice, I haven't reacted in the same way. I've just sort of been still on the floor. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I don't think you react in the same way when it's like a genuine, like really bad injury as to an impact one like that. But yeah, I did think, oh Christ, the poor bloke. He's come back from all those injuries and everything, and he's just done, you know, with a really unlucky tackle. But yeah, never nice.
To be fair, whenever I see him go down, I think, oh fuck, here we go. Okay, but today, because he didn't move much, okay, he held his knee,
yeah,
and it kind of reminded me when I did my cruciate ligament, you know, the ankle, the bottom half of the leg went that way, top half went the other, and I just screamed, and I held it, but I was in the same position, I wasn't moving much, you know, and when you get, you know, I've never been one for rolling about, so to speak. You know, but it's that thing of when they roll about, I think, just get the fuck up, you know. But when they stay down like that, I just think, you know, apart from when Torrier and Guendouzi did it earlier on today, I thought, you twats. But, you know, it is worrying because as much as I don't mind criticising Koscielny, you know, I it would be heartbreaking for him to get another big injury. I think he's been through enough. Okay, last question of the night. And you are a shitbag, Andrew Jones. You really, really are. Two questions for you guys. Laka or Auba if you only play one up front on Saturday? I'm Laka. Are you?
Yeah, I'm Laka as well, yeah.
Yeah. Also, been meaning to ask for months, what was your school nicknames and explain why?
Do you want to go first, Jace, or...?
I'm not answering this at all. he was a shitbag. I've known that guy for, I think it's about 36 years now. And I'm not answering that.
Well, I'm not answering it. My nickname was very easy because my nickname was Welsh. Everyone just used to call me Welsh. That was it. There was one other nickname. Everyone got their their nickname at the end of the when you all left school in your yearbook thing, and they did all the pictures and whatever. We did one of them like the American schools did, and mine was the Fong Stealer. Yeah, because I will tell the story very quickly. It's not that dirty, but they made it out to be. We're at a house party. It's like your last year at school. Everyone's drinking everything. There's only like one exam left to go. Whatever. Anyway. I came home from the party. I was really, really ill. And then actually, like, because I was hungover and drunk and I was, you know, 15, 16 and shouldn't have been drinking like an idiot. But I then got actually ill afterwards and missed the next week of school. Apparently, the girl's house who it was, one of her fongs disappeared. So they all decided to go along with the story of the reason why I was off school was not because I was ill. It was because I'd taken the fong, I'd stolen it and gone home and spent all week. You know, you can guess the rest. So there we go. That's where I got my nickname from.
Absolutely. Michael Hanneman's asked something. I've just seen the chat, actually, and we will do it quickly, okay? Thoughts on Abu Dhabi's... I'm sorry, Andrew. I'm just not answering it, okay? I'm not. Okay? No way. No fucking chance. Michael Hanneman asked for thoughts on Dhabi's retirement, etc. Look, it's been a long time coming, hasn't it? Mm-hmm. Those injuries he had, I think Steve spoke of it quite well on the podcast when he mentioned, you know, he not just the Dan Smith
challenge, but the SCN one, was it? Is it SCN?
Yeah, the SCN one.
Okay, you know, we went through a period where we had no fucking protection whatsoever from any referees, and unfortunately, DRB and Eduardo both were, you know, their injuries were absolutely curtailed. I think, you know, we lost two absolute talents there. And as Steve said on the pod, Eduardo, for me, you know, we'd have won the title that season, not a fucking problem. But it's just, it's sad for Abu Dhabi. The club stood by him, did well by him, maybe a little too long. And it's a shame for what could have been.
Yeah.
You know? I don't get people arguing over it, over what he could have or could not have been, because
what sort of player he would have been, what level, what is it? It doesn't matter. It's just, you know, it's anyone who is a footballer, or whether you're a footballer, any sportsman or woman, you know, in whatever level you're at, whether it's amateur or professional, you get one of those sort of injuries and you're plagued by it for your entire period of whatever sport it is you're doing, and you never get to fulfill what your potential was. Not through any fault of your own. It's not like it wasn't that person trying. That's always sad. So, and the thing is, like, obviously it's very sad and it's personal to us because it's Diaby and it's an Arsenal player. And it was in that period of time when we had a couple of players unfortunately suffer that. But there's, you know, hundreds, thousands of sports people that happens to, sadly. And it's just one of those things. But look, the nice thing is that there was a lot of nice messages from Arsenal fans, and Diaby's always said, whenever you see him in interviews and stuff, he always says how welcome and how much he appreciated the love and respect he got from the fans, despite the fact he never really got a chance to go out on the pitch and show it. So,
yeah, I mean, you could see his talent.
Mm-hmm.
It was a talent never had the chance to flourish.
Yeah.
And that's just sad.
Yeah.
Okay. And it's cunts like Dan Smith, Matt Taylor, Ryan Shawcross, Michael Essien were a fucking stain on the game, but not as big a stain as the fucking referees and the FA who allowed it to happen.
Mm.
And that's the truth of the matter. Prediction for the NLD, pal.
Oh, you're going to put me on a spot.
Yep.
I'm going to say it's a Desmond. I'm going 2-2.
I'm going 3-1 to the Arsenal. Come on.
I love your positivity. Before we go, there are two very quick things I need to say. One is, if you didn't hear on the podcast or the previous radio show, Danny cocked up the Twitter thing with the whole giving away the Santi Cazorla shirt. So if you haven't already, if you entered on Facebook, don't worry, you're definitely in. If you entered on Twitter and you just retweeted, you just have to go and reply to the tweet instead. Now, it doesn't matter what you say. You can call Danny a twat. You can call Jason a twat because it was his idea. You can call... you know, Chris a twat if you like. You can say how much you love me and how great I am. Whatever it is, doesn't matter. As long as you reply, then you will definitely be in. And we're doing it after the Spurs game. We're going to do the draw then. And the second one is, very quickly, I just wanted to congratulate Kieran Trippier on his amazing own goal tonight. It was a great finish. So well done.
I haven't seen that.
Oh, it's wonderful. It. Yeah. Makes it 2-0.
Nice. Right, okay, big shout out to Yvonne Okafor, Unique 79, Michael Hahnemann, Jamie Fitzgerald twice, Jackosaurus twice, Mika for Life, Hunter Bunn, Jonas Segtnan Berg, I think I nailed that, and the magnificent Pedro McManus. You are all fantastic. Thank you ever so much for your donations. The chat box, everyone who listens on any other platform, whether it be iTunes or Stitcher, you guys, you amaze us every week, okay? So thank you ever so much for your kindness. Thank you for your participation. Thank you for supporting us. I think we're still in shock, really, aren't we? You know, it's been a good week so far. Let's hope we keep it going through to the weekend. A big win on Saturday would be lovely. Rub those noses in it. Rub their noses in the shit, and let's do the double over them again, okay? The radio show on Saturday is myself and John, shockingly, okay? And I think it's Ellis and Carl as well, or is Ellis and Josh?
I'm looking now because we're professionals and I definitely know who's going to be on. And yes, it is Ellis and Josh as well. So we got the two youngsters on. Terrible.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I've had to put four on the lineup just in case somebody drops out. You know, it's like no idea who's on next week's podcast, but we won't know until next week because that's the way Danny rolls. Okay. Look, guys, thank you ever so much. It's been brilliant. It's been a pleasure doing this tonight. Chartbox is superb. Take care of yourselves. Keep it Arsenal. John, switch this shit off.